for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 14th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday morning, October the 27th, 2010. Jim Landry is the speaker of this service, teaching on how demons operate in the life of the believer.
This morning, I want to share on how demons operate in the lives of believers. So many years ministering in deliverance, and yet, even though I know in bits and pieces and parts and how to explain it, but I didn't have a full concept, and I was surprised at how many people that practice spiritual warfare that really don't have some foundational truths about the operation of demons in the lives of believers or where they are located. So hopefully this DVD and this teaching and our presence here in the Lord will bring some clarity on some of those questions, and we will have some a better understanding about how demons operate in the life of believers. I have a couple of gentlemen here from Pasadena, Texas, who are going to pass out a couple of syllables so that you can follow along with this teaching, and I'm going to ask them to do that. Every one of us has met someone or someone that we're ministering to that if they believe in deliverance, but they'll ask you, well, sister, tell me, are you sure the demon in me? So they just, you know, and then you try to explain it to them, but, you know, you have an experience, but you don't really have a real foundational knowledge of how you can explain that back to them. And I'll have to be honest about it. I mean, I didn't have that understanding until some years back. And we did more work than we did work on ourselves. And so this DVD and this teaching can be used as a training module. We do a lot of DVD ministry at our local assembly. And I have traveled abroad, and I have had DVDs to play during some of the sessions. So many have questions on spiritual warfare. I want to thank the men of God for passing out those syllabus. Every place you read in the commission given to the apostles, commission given to the disciples, and given to the believers, you're going to find that there are three things that were common. That was the preaching of the gospel. In fact, Jesus said, repent and believe. The preaching of the gospel, the healing of the sick, and the casting out of evil spirits. The 12 preached the kingdom. The 70 preached the kingdom. Even the one that John said, Lord, we forbid, preached the kingdom. Why aren't we preaching anything else? One third of Jesus' public ministry was preaching the kingdom and setting the captives free. And we ought to get excited about setting the captives free. In fact, in John, the 14th chapter, verse 12, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is to you, he that believeth, the he that believeth ministry, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And as I begin this message this morning on how demons operate in the lives of believers, I bring us all into question. There are many, many works out there. Many works helping a lot of people. Food ministries, citywide choirs, thousands in the attendance, mega-mega-this, TVs, radios, congregational guests. But I beg to differ for those who say we have a great kingdom work of God unless they have been taught how to do the very same works of God. Amen. Father, we just bless the services this morning. We ask, God, that you would illuminate us and guide us and open up our hearts and understanding. Place us on thy potter's wheel. Lord, even as thy servant, as I attempt to try to deliver what you have given me for this hour. Lord, I pray to apply it in my life. And Lord God, we pray today, God, you have promised us, Lord God, on these journeys that you would supply every tool, all of the fuel that we need, that each of us might fulfill our destiny. We have a confidence in you, Lord God, not in ourselves. Lord God, that the work you've begun in each one of our lives, you will complete that work. I bless your ministers, God, that you have placed here this day. I thank you, Lord God, that you have called us, Lord God, and called us to be separate unto you. And God, that each one of us, Lord God, will fulfill our mission for you. We are soldiers for God. And I bless them this day in Jesus' name. Let us begin in the book of Mark, the very first chapter of Mark. And it's clear of some issues here in doctrinal error that is being promoted by the paparazzi out there. That's the ones that run behind you. Oh, praise the Lord! But have no foundation. In Mark, the first chapter, verse 21, the Bible says, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And that was in the synagogue." In my Bible, I tell you what, I have to make sure there ain't a religious spirit trying to attack me, but I got all kinds of little marks and circles and squares and parentheses and commas. Some of y'all may not want to write in your Bible, you know, it's real beautiful, it looks good on the table and stuff. But anyway, 91 Psalms, I got you. The Bible says, in the synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone." Well, Brother Jim, I've been delivered. I have one demon. Okay. Amen, then. Amen said he had that, too. But the demon cried out, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Now, the devil ought to know who we are, too. If we are transparent, and God is living through us, and we're preaching the kingdom, the devil ought to say, like he told me many times, "Who are you?" I say, "I'm Brother Jim. I'm a servant of the Most High God. Jesus is my Lord." Some of you, the devil ain't told you that. They say, "Hey, welcome. I'm glad you showed up today." You don't have to run out naked with clothes. You can run out naked in knowledge. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace. Come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For what authority commanded Jesus even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him?" And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region about Galilee. When Jesus began his public ministry, one thing that impressed the people the most was his way of dealing with evil spirits. They knew about the demons. Sure they did. Today, demons are hid. They're laughed at in the churches. They are considered in most places to be a cartoon, horror movie, barring a few unusual exorcisms they hear about or have seen on television. In verse 25, something to note, Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." This was one miracle of Jesus that was not recorded previously in the Old Testament. And the people observed this throwing out, and in Phillips' translation it says, expelling of demons, and they became excited about it. What are some of the things happening in the church in your ministries that excite you today? Praise dance? Preaching? Singing? Cake sales? Bake sales? Reb Day anniversary? Prophesying? Prophelying? I'll let you ponder on that thought for a moment. We ought to get excited about doing stuff. Friday night deliverance. You can't get delivered of your friends, so it's not going to make you excited if you're in prison with them. Now, some of us, we know about coming out of the prison camp because we were missing in action. We were MIAs. Then one day, Jesus came in our heart and he began to reveal the kingdom to us. And he set us free. But there are still some people asleep because they refuse to remove the tear of unbelief. The enemy sows tares while you sleep. When you sleep to doctrine, I don't want to hear that about no deliverance. I'm in prophetic. Prophetic right on out of here, too. I'm not talking about out of here. Stay. You might make it by this week. In Jesus' name, stay. I hope. There are three phrases that are used interchangeably when referring to evil spirits, called by the word demons, unclean spirits, and evil spirits, and they're all the same. Many of your translations will use the word devil when referring to demons, but there's only one devil. And I will deal with that in a moment also. There are several types of evil spirits referred to in the Bible. Spirits of infirmity. Spirit of fear. Spirit of divination. Spirit of jealousy. Galatians, being bewitched by witchcraft. And so forth. And I wonder, did all of the spirits leave after the death of John the Baptist? Did all of the spirits, that's the beginning, leave after the day of Pentecost? But some believe that. Well, Jesus dealt with the evil spirit inside of a man in these passages of Scripture, but he didn't deal with the man. There was no previous evidence that this man who attended the synagogue had behaved this way before, but the presence of Jesus, the anointing, brought about the unseen presence in a man. I have, in my youthful years, of course, I'm still youthful to some of these senior apostles. We have apostles in our midst, men that have traveled and women that have traveled 10, 20, 15 countries or more. So I'm humbled to teach and to receive from you today, this week. But in my younger years, I remember where we threw out the man because they were disturbing our religious functions. So we took the rigid board person bound and took them out so they could fan them down so they can loosen up, come back to church. But Jesus threw out the devil. It's, okay, all right. I'm just telling you like it is. So in Mark 1:32, the Bible says, "And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto Jesus all that were diseased and them that were..." In some of your translations, it's going to show here the word. I want to use this intentionally because some of you may have the New Revision or the Jerusalem Bible, whatever that says, demonized. But most translations are going to use the word here, were possessed with devils. But it's, okay, demons, right? I think we have pretty much a clear understanding on that part at this point. And then it says, "And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers of different types of diseases and cast out many demons and suffered not only the demons to speak, but suffered not the demons to speak because they knew him." Well, the devil ought to know you. And you're going to find when Jesus did deliverance, generally it's in one overall operation with the exception of one or two verses of Scripture. When he healed the sick and many were delivered from demons, or he cast out devils and many were healed. So you can't say, I just have a healing ministry. Recently I was teaching, I could do this at home because we know about word curses and all that. So when I said, "Liar, liar, the children holler, pants on fire." And I looked up and I said, "Boy, I'm glad these children know deliverance in our church." There's a word here in this passage of Scripture in verse 32. It says they were possessed with demons. And we know that there's one devil, but many demons, many imps. So if you consider this translation using the word possess, as you study translation in the original text, you will find it is probably not the best translation in order to get the theologians to comprehend what God was saying. Several other Bibles do not use it. The original translation interprets this scripture to read demonize instead of possessed. The word demon-possessed is often misunderstood, particularly by theologians. And trust me, I have more degrees than a thermometer. Education didn't bring me here. It's all about being a Jesus man and being a Jesus woman. But for some reason, you get too many up there, too many stars up there, you don't want to hear nothing else. But thank God, God has got men and women that have true humility, and they're able to reach even those theologians with doctrinal truths because they come as Jesus came, humble. So don't give up on them. But the fact of the matter remains that many theologians, David, Sharon, good to see y'all. We all grew up together way back in the Lord. Theologians, Christian leaders and believers have misunderstood this word possess. The Greek word for demon in the original text is daimon, spelled just like diamond that we know, izomai, I-Z-O-M-A-I. It should be listed in your syllabus. I want to break this meaning into the two part it represents. Daimon is a root and comes from the noun demon. Izomai is the passive, meaning to be demonized. And I believe this would be the best translation of the phrase used here, demon possessed, to be demonized. And so this translation misunderstanding for many people, for many religious groups throughout the century, has obscured the true meaning in the Greek transcripts. Because what they say is, how can a Christian be possessed by a demon? And your and our answers should be that a true Christian cannot be possessed by a demon. A true Christian is possessed by Yahshua Mashiach. It's third, okay, Jesus. However, in many true Christians, there are some areas where they are demonized, where they are afflicted by and affected by demons, areas in their lives where they are not yet fully in control or healthy. It could be a congenital birth defect. I'm doing a visual up here now. A congenital birth defect, but don't have any problem with being saved. Could be ingrown toenails. Could be a problem with rejection. And I'm not talking about just dealing with the flesh here. I'm talking about you didn't pray, fasted, sought prayer, went to leadership, got in the prayer line, went to council, you're undercover, you're part of a church, you're participating, but you're not getting any freedom. In that area you could be, potentially, you could have an area where you are demonized, but not possessed. If we could just clear away this one obstacle of translation, the church would be much farther in seeing reality and knowing who the enemy is and understanding Satan's strategies. How many of you know that Satan has wiles, schemes, devices, strategies, deceptive schemes? These are some translations of the word wiles in Ephesians 6:10, 6:11, I believe. How demons operate in the life of the believer. In order to understand the operation of demons in the life of a believer, it is necessary to study the subjects of body, soul, and spirit. While modern psychology, which denies the existence of the spirit, modern psychology, not Christian psychology, who got born again later, modern psychology denies the existence of the spirit, whether it be human, divine, or demonic. And it teaches the dichotomy of man, that he is only a mind and a body. The Bible teaches that man is a trichotomy. And in our scriptural text of 1 Thessalonians, very familiar passage of scripture, the 5th chapter, verse 23, the Bible says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," W-H-O-L-L-Y, that's spirit, soul, and body, by the way, and it's confirmed here, "I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." It is obvious that this biblical passage teaches that man is triune or a tripartite being consisting of a spirit, soul, and body. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit," excuse me, "and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." When we together examine this portion of Scripture, we discover that the epistle speaks about soul and spirit. But when in this passage of Scripture, it also speaks of joints and marrow, which speaks of the physical body. It also speaks of the thoughts and intents of the heart, which is the mind. So now consider this. The soul within a man is also a trilogy. consisting of mind, will, and emotions. Consisting of mind, thoughts, will, where you make decisions, and your heart, your emotions. We all know that. I know I'm singing to the choir. How about Zechariah, the 12th chapter, verse 1? I don't know how the psychiatrist can come up with this. It's right here in the Word of God. Oh, that's right. Everybody don't read it. Everybody don't believe Jesus. He said, repent and believe the gospel. That was his first words. Repent and believe. In Zechariah 12:1 it says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Now how in the world could they come up with such a belief system when it's written right here in God's standard of living? So, in conclusion, I can affirm that man is a spirit according to the Word of God, and there are many, many other scriptures to confirm this. That he has a soul, and that man lives in a body, which helps him to relate to the environment that surrounds him. The natural man. Let's share about the natural man for a moment. The unconverted. In the natural man, the unconverted, the spirit is dead. There are a number of scriptures to confirm this, and I will read from the passages of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 1 and verse 5, as Paul teaches. He says, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Due to this fact, man without the knowledge of God is virtually a dual being. Man without the knowledge of God is a body and a soul, since his spirit is dead. That is, it is in a state of abeyance, latency, or inert, inactive, and operable. You need to understand that. Spirit is dead. He is moving only on mind, power, and body. Spiritual death is separation from God. Adam sinned, and because of sin, an insurmountable barrier was raised between God and man, that only Jesus Christ, by his atoning death on the cross, could tear down. Isaiah 59:2. In Isaiah 59:2, the Word of God says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he would not hear you. But the lost will tell you in a minute, oh, I know God. He speaks to me too. Well, Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 10, and I know it may be a little difficult, but for the sake of time, I'm going to go through this. You have the DVD. It's an excellent training module, too, for those that you are trying to help with foundational principles on how demons operate in the lives of believers. Romans 5:10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. To believe intuitively or intellectually in the existence of a supreme being, as many do, as many religious and non-religious people do today, doesn't ensure that a man will have a consciousness or an awareness of God, or even maintain a relationship with him. Doesn't. This is only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. He says, the truth and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by him. Jesus says, I am the way. When I look at truth, I look at pistos, now faith. I believe on truth, the truth of God. And the truth of God is there is no other way that a man can come except through Jesus. Now you're going to hear on television, you may even hear from some of the compromised pulpits in the world that they're just my brothers. They just have a different faith. We all end up in the same place. There is one place I can be rest assured you will end up in hell if you don't follow Jesus' way. So they're not lying. They're just confused about where they're going to go. And so it is very difficult because television programs, some musical CDs, some worship groups make a living on how to read the emotions of the hearers. So they're starting to propagate within the youth and in many of the religious folk a way to feel compassion and empathy for the devil. And so instead of us being strong and sharpening our, so we can tell them, well, not a word saying so-and-so. We're saying, well, I know what you mean. I love you. Praise the Lord. And so we all stand up there with the mayor and everybody. We're going to just bless. We're going to bless the city today. I'm not going to call them by name, but let this religious group come up and do their other thing. Then let this other one come out and do their thing. All right? Then you do your thing. I ain't calling no names. The Bible says, by their fruit, you shall know them. We get too deep with this thing. Keep it simple. The initial work of the Holy Spirit, when man finally listens, and he's the message of salvation in Jesus Christ, the initial work of the Holy Spirit is to reprove man, awaken, or sensitize his conscience so that he can feel the guilt of sin, repent, and by faith receive Jesus Christ as his sin bearer and Savior. What happened to repentance? For those that understand this thing, understand the faith to receive Jesus Christ, at that moment a real miracle takes place in them, the greatest miracle of all. They get born again. The new birth. Now we have TV comedians and actors and everybody else getting up there on TV mocking the Christians. Praise the Lord. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, where are all the prophets in the last days? I'm not talking about some of the prophets that we see on TV bring you so-and-so, get your blessed offering. You're going to get a car, you're going to get a husband. If you test prophecy according to Revelation, it says the test of prophecy, it will always testify Jesus. Tell me what Jesus in your Cadillac is. Okay. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm trying to say something else here. Okay. Now we're seeing thousands gather while non-Christian faiths who have a banner who say they believe in the Son, but the Son had a brother also, and his name was Satan. I'm just going to use it like that. For those of you that study doctrine, you know what doctrine I'm talking about. And now we're seeing prophets raised up in them, and even some of the Christians going, he's praying, that's right, Jesus. Tell them that government source. Tell them. And you can't even tell the difference. Now I'm going to go back in history because I can do this because he's gone. We had a vice president that was a Church of Unity, a cult. And he's still going to the Afro-American church and say, yeah, Lord, everybody. Well, I can say something now he's gone. Now, in office, I would not say a word. But honor those who God has placed in authority. In John 3:3, we know the born again. It says, Jesus answered Nicodemus and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then in verse 5, it says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. God creates in man, in his spirit, this is what we're talking about here, a new creature, a new creation. Confirming scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17, where it reads, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I am a new creature. The new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness, and according to Ephesians 4:24, is a holy creature that doeth not commit sin, 1 John 3:9, or, as other versions reword it, cannot keep on sinning, or cannot practice sinning. So from the moment that man receives Jesus Christ as his Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell and reside in him. Consequently, man becomes an habitation of God through the Spirit, Ephesians 2:22, and scriptures affirm that redeemed man is the habitation of God in the human spirit and by the Spirit of the divine. We've dealt with the natural man. We transitioned to the regenerated man. The regenerated man, and let me begin by quoting a very common passage of scripture that many quote when they want to tell you that Christians cannot be demonized. Know ye not, 1 Corinthians 3:16, that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Paul calls the believer in Christ the temple of God. The temple of God, you and I, consists of spirit, soul, and body. And I would like for a moment to consider, in parallel, the tabernacles of Moses and Solomon. And all of you, most of you here are leaders, and certainly I would pray that others, that if you haven't had tabernacle teachings, you can email me. I am part of the camp, so I'm not working independent of the camp. Any way I can help you with that, to understand this teaching, because most of the lessons I have sectioned out over the years, and can just deal with that one. I'm teaching a whole lot here, and we can only say so much in an hour and a half, pertaining to this. But if you consider the tabernacles erected by Moses in the wilderness, and the temple built by Solomon in Jerusalem, each had three main areas. And I realize Solomon's was separated, and I can explain that too, because we're talking about praise. But I want to get back to the tabernacle of Moses for a moment. In the tabernacle, there were seven pieces of furniture. And each piece of furniture was a picture and a type of the most perfect tabernacle, which was Jesus Christ that would come and walk amongst men. The tabernacle consisted of it was built from the Holy of Holies down to the courtyard so that man can approach God, which speaks of exalted relationship, being exalted by God. And that's another teaching. Tabernacle teaching is another teaching. So let me just start from the courtyard first. And in the courtyard where the people brought the sacrifices, a very large area there, of course, there were the priests there receiving the sacrifices. There were two pieces of furniture, and both of those pieces of furniture spoke of death. Upon entrance, you immediately saw this very large brazen altar where the sacrifices were burnt. And behind that, there was the brazen laver where the priest washed. And, of course, both of those pieces of furniture spoke of death to self. They have other meanings also, dealing with baptism of the Holy Ghost, salvation, being washed by the Word. It is interesting to note that the laver itself was made from the looking glasses of the women. And it was a very priceless thing to give away, which was very priceless to have in those days, a piece of glass that would reflect the image of a man's wife. And a wife, that was her way of saying, I give up my vanity to serve God. So now the priest had to look in there and see what they look like. Are we looking in there today? Okay, all right. We got to look into the Word. As we go past that courtyard area, where there was a courtyard praise, courtyard walk, courtyard talk, we need to keep growing. We can't just 20 years from now still going courtyard praise, courtyard walk, courtyard testimony, same film, Holy Ghost 1963, 6 a.m. in the morning. Okay, I'll wait till I get about another 40 years old before I tell that one. Some things you have to wait. As you get older, you can let go of some things. If you go into the holy place behind that first veil, there was three additional pieces of furniture. The candlestick, table of shewbread with the 12 loaves of bread, and the altar of incense. All of the furniture in there, the priest had to tamper with, work with, was aware of it. They had to look at it to make sure the candles were still going, the incense was burning, and the bread was not messed up or molded. And in other words, it required some effort on the priest. Alright? In other words, God working with man. Alright? But in the courtyard, they just working. Grab that bull. Bring that bull over here. Kill him. Flesh. And without going into each piece of furniture and describing what Jesus is in each piece of furniture, because it would take too much time. And I love the tabernacle. The book of Exodus is my favorite book. You said you're a deliverance minister and you like Exodus? Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it makes sense that that's the deliverance, yeah. That's always been my favorite book, even before I learned deliverance. So I started learning deliverance. You don't never learn enough here. So when you say you learn enough, then you need to deliver. You need to be delivered. And then when you got into the Holy of Holies, there was the Ark of the Covenant and the Mercy Seat, which was a picture of the Spirit of God, a picture of the power of Jesus giving his life and his shed blood for us, cleansing us of all of our sins and iniquities. So there were seven pieces of furniture inside the tabernacles. According to Bible typology, the outer court represents the believer's physical body, flesh. The holy place, his soul. And in the holy of holies, his spirit. And we know when the priest who went into the holy of holies to bring the offering, his offering, and the offering for the people, he sees some works in there. In other words, he just brought it and that was it. He had no responsibility. God was totally in control and in authority in that holy of holies. And if he didn't do right, and he hadn't presented it properly, then the pomegranates around his little waist would yank him out of there. Because they'll start singing. And the priest would have to bring him out. There's so much more I want to say about all of that. Because there's one of the largest denominations in the country that they could not understand what the demons were. Because I've been down in Indiana, Kentucky, way back 10, 20, 15 years ago. One of my minister staff had a television program right there. And he said, man, we just can't get them to see that. They got the best prayer life. Them people pray churches all over the world. They taught tabernacle. But they just didn't know what the demons were. And all people had access to the courtyard, including the Gentiles, to the holy place, the ministers. In other words, the priests and the Levites. And they still had to be delegated to go in there because you ever work with someone that you're mentoring and trying to train, and they don't see what you see at that moment, you say, don't do this. If they're teachable, they'll say, okay. If they're not teachable, they'll say, why? They should at least wait till you finish. So the priests that went into the holy place needs to be over here, just like many of you that are pastors, you can tell if a light is out over there. Because you know the shadow of your building, the sanctuary. I can walk in on Sunday morning and say, we got a light over here somewhere. There it is. So that preacher just out there in La La Land, oh, praise Jesus. Lights going out, bread against fall, incense burn out. And we got too many people like that. We got too many weekend warriors and deliverers. We do deliverance on Sunday nights. What y'all do on Monday? We got a prophecy summit. We do prophecy on Monday night, and we do so and so. And some of them are beaten. They're drumming for Jesus. I just finished. Well, I finished writing a book, but I hadn't had time to acquire the finances and everything to publish it. And the Lord finally gave me a title, Sister Jerry. After 15 years, I've studied research on this for 17 years, drumming throughout the world, its origin, what it's doing in the churches. And the Lord told me the title is going to be The Rocks Cry Out. The rocks are crying out. And then, of course, I open up explaining, I don't want no rock crying out in my place. We meditated. Okay. I need to keep on track here. Y'all gave me so much time. So only in the Holy of Holies could the high priest go once a year, and not without blood, to atone for his sins and for the sins of his people. Any unauthorized person that dared enter the Holy of Holies was smitten by God. Let's make a spiritual application to the tabernacle now. We discover, as believers, that demons can and have invaded the body and souls of humanity, including believers, which includes the courtyard and the holy place, or the mind and the body. And when the circumstances allow them to, they have done this. But they have never penetrated the Holy of Holies, the regenerated spirit. This is very important for those who have the DVD. Because the regenerated spirit of man has now been empowered by the spirit divine in our human spirits, has been reserved exclusively for our great high priest, Lord Jesus Christ. He is the high priest of our profession. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 3:1. Now, over the years, like you, because I'm here around company personnel, I've been in ministry, many of you, for many years, many of you, more years than I have. And there are people here that know more about spiritual warfare than I do. I'm not conceited like that I know it all, okay? You write a few books or something like that. That's I got a 12-grade education. I got a doctorate in theology. It took 8 years to get, but that's, you can't go by none of that. God even allowed me to do that just to show people that is by not by power, but by might, but by my spirit, said the Lord. So you think about, you sitting out there thinking, well, I don't know where I'm going to fit in. Man, I wish I had time to give you some testimonies, because you're supposed to live supernatural. You're not supposed to live natural. I all of the odds against me were just an opportunity for God. Just because I say I was willing to look like a fool to do whatever you say. Amen. So he's done so many things. Oh. So, just like you, we've ministered to hundreds of Christians, and I said that number with caution there, because I want to say thousands, but and I have preached with over thousands of people in the audience. That don't mean anything if you're not getting anybody free. But over the years, hundreds of people, hundreds of Christians with serious demonic problems that was in their physical bodies, attached to their soul. In other words, we believe in many cases that what's manifesting in the natural, the realm of sight, has some correlation or relationship to what's taking place in some spiritual root. The realm of sight is just what you can see. Okay? And so, I began to, in the early years, we just did stuff. We just went out there, we loaded the guns, and we went to shooting. But as we got older, I started saying, leave the mark, the M16s on the table, we go out there with cannons. And now I'm going out there with atom bombs. Okay, so the battlefront changes as you grow and you begin to learn more and more from God. So, over the years, we haven't found any that had any problems in their spirit, just souls and bodies. So you need to kind of pay attention to that, that if you listen to counsel, and I know this is very difficult, like I have a friend here from my mother, he's been over 40 nations, a man and his wife. It's very difficult when you have 6,000 people coming up to the altar. God will loose a gift of miracles and the gift of healings. You already got it in you. But it manifests if you ain't got, well, he'll do it even if you a dodo bird. If he want to heal his people out there and you out on cloud nine somewhere thinking you somebody. And that has nothing to do with the scripture, gifts and call of God without repentance. That has to do with the Jews there. He's going to draft them back in. I'm not using that scripture. I'm just saying that they met the condition out there, repentance, they came up for prayer, and you out there, you're a wino. You're a crackhead. But you're preaching Jesus. Where am I going with this? This is way off target. Okay. So it's difficult in large assemblies to be able to assess the situation. But after experience, if it quacks like a duck, walk like a duck, swim like a duck, it's a duck. So you'll be able to see when they come up. Now don't try to look through people like no x-ray. I didn't ask God for none of that. I want to be able to move by faith. I can be blessed and rested assured in faith. If I have to depend on saying, I felt your vibes. My hand got high. Don't let that get on you. You better run like the plague. Because it's recruiting. About a year from now, I'll be seeing you. Brother Landry, I got it now. I'm ready to pray with you. And then they got holy waves. See, those demons manifest too out of Florida. When I say manifest, I'm not just talking about being in the presence of sin. I mean people come to us for help. I say, come out in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And get delivered. And on our team today, years later. Come out of Lakeland, like whatever, all that. And I got nothing to say about all that. I'm just talking about those who got free. Okay, so, but on the other hand, you and I may have more time to work with a person. So don't be so quick to say, come out. Because sometimes Jesus said, well, how long has your son been like this? And the man would say, well, he's been like this since he was a child. And your disciples tried to get around. But they was down here while you was up in the Mount Transfiguration with the other three. These other boys down here, they was playing soccer. And they was swimming. And they was practicing for the Christian Olympics down here in Rome. And then you come back down and they couldn't get the demon out. He said, oh, you have little faith. Let's come out by fire and fast. And anyway, get your attitude right. When I went up to the Transfiguration Mountain with my other disciples, y'all should have came, but y'all wanted to stay around and rest. Jim's interpretation, excuse me. Well, that's really what it really boiled down to. Now, the churches have figured out they keep you busy. Monday night, prayer meeting. Tuesday night, deacon meeting. Thursday night, women meeting. Friday night, so-and-so meeting. Friday morning, we're going to go here. Saturday, we're going to go do that. When we ought to be spending all that time teaching people how to get people set free and get them discipled, instead of trying to build the edifice, we ought to be building a body. What are you, an edifice builder or a body builder for Jesus? I have never found one that had demons in his or her spirit. And that can only mean that Christians can be infested, Christians can be bound, Christians can be oppressed, Christians can be captivated, Christians can be obsessed, Christians can be demonized by demons, but never possessed. You say, well, I can't believe that came from Lake Havana. That man said that.
That's right.
Now, the believer has two natures. And Dr. Vito was talking about that. Oh, y'all need to get his DVD. I don't think we have a DVD here, but I have it. You can ask the camp to get it from me, and I'll send it to the camp. The camp will send it to you on the shocking truth to martial arts in the yoga, which is going to deal with Kundalini. Kundalini has many names. For the brothers who've been to India, they call him Kali. Okay, so there's different Shamus in China. So there's different names. And so he really goes very good. And God has not led him to teach on that subject here, I guess. And that's fine, because what he taught on yesterday, as you can see, was a precursor to what's going on now. It's funny how God does this thing. He just kind of got it trailing. I don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of days, but I just know God is doing something. But I said, man, he's stepping all over the message. So I'm laying down in the bed last night. I said, I'm going to teach on abortion. But I woke up this morning, God said, no, you ain't. I'm serious. I was going to teach on abortion. But look here, I got some stuff on these IUDs. Copper and the other one out there last 5 years, copper last 10 years. We're killing the fertilized egg, and we commit abortion every day. Don't even know it. But anyway, I'm gonna leave that alone. That's just listen to the next time. I think I'll be here probably. I'm here all the time, so this is the camp. But sooner or later, I'll do a teaching on abortion, and we'll cover those things so we can get free, men and women, because you're accessory to the fact Satan is a legalist, and your wife doing certain things, and you've permitted, and both of y'all come under the penalty. Don't tell me you ain't never born with babies. All right, okay. The two natures of the believer. We're going to finish early. Good. Let's go give you the time to rest before lunch. It's not enough time to cover this. Romans 6:6. I think Dr. Vito shared Romans 6:6 on last evening. In Romans 6:6, I just want to quote this one passage of Scripture. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Now, this is very important, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, if I had the time to go over the passage of Scripture in 7th chapter, I believe that I could prove to many of you that sin is a living thing. Not just an action. But I don't have time to go over, because that would take away from the text and what we want for these foundational teachers to go to the people that are sincere out there saying, well, I want to know how demons operate in my life. I want to know why you say I got a demon. Why you say we got to have a deal? I thought I got saved. You know, why Christians always got to be delivered? So this tape and this DVD is to help y'all, because somebody took time out to help me. And so that's what this is all about. So I don't want to deviate, because we can go real deep on this sin thing. You know, sin is a being. B-E-I-N-G. In the regenerated man, or the saved man, exists two natures. The human, called the old man. Pastor Norman Parrish of Guatemala said, the gorilla, or flesh. And in that regenerated man exists the divine, called the new man, or spirit. The old man, our sinful and deprived human nature, inhabits the soul and body of the believer. The new man, as a holy and perfect divine nature, inhabits the spirit. Two different locations. Two different places. Now, trust me. Y'all heard my critique. You know, I was, this is just a testimony. I was Christian as a Catholic, sprinkled a Methodist, baptized a Baptist, baptized a Pentecostal, Temple of Elijah Muhammad. And so there's a segment of those out there, the do-it-alls, and in the do-it-all ministries out there, it's impossible for them to believe that there is a separation there and there is a difference of the spirit divine in our spirit. They just think it just went all over there, like an injection of morphine. I'm ex-military, so I'm thinking medical terms. The flesh, the old man, and the spirit, the new man, continually oppose each other, different and yet within the same body. For that reason, in the soul of most believers, there is a constant, raging battle that Paul describes in Romans 7:14-25, and in Galatians 5:16-17. Quote Galatians quickly for the DVD. One passage of Scripture, probably verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And I know that sometimes the things I would to do, I did not do. The things I did want to do, I did it. Then I repent. And I thank God for there's no condemnation once I've repented. Thank God for His grace. Amen? Now, this conflict here that's written in this passage of Scripture is in great part aroused and inflamed by the unclean spirits that operate in the old man of the believer. The demons reinforce and excite the flesh so that it may resist the Holy Spirit that dwells and operates within the regenerated spirit of man. In Romans, the 8th chapter, in fact, verse 7, very familiar passage of Scripture, it says, because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the flesh, is an enemy against God. Take that not lightly, for it is not subject. It didn't say sometimes not subject. It says N-O-T, not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed, I'm doing this for the camera, by the way, can be. It's training too. If the Holy Spirit is willing to inhabit the same body with the old man, that is truly a satanic creature, worse than any devil, should it be difficult for us to believe that the Holy Spirit dwells in believers, the same body as evil spirits? Scriptures reveal that the flesh is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Demons, on the other hand, my brothers and sisters, can be subject in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt or harm you. The devil is the one that tells you that they will hurt or harm you. The best attack against warfare is attack. Not tie, not defense, not putting blessed cloths all over the house, but telling the devil to get out in the name of Jesus. And if you're not undercover, get undercover. And if you don't have a place where you can go to learn more about deliverance, email us. Because I'm certain if there's a church in your town, don't email me and tell me there's not a church in my town. Because I know there are. My God is everywhere. Sometimes we've been wounded. Wounded by man. So God has to make us submit to another man to be restored. The problem is we don't want to go back. We don't want to go nowhere else. So we become independent workers for God. Well, I pay my own tithes, pay it to my own ministry. We did the house, we ain't doing nothing, we ain't going nowhere. Now, some people, they need to start there because they got the Abraham calling. They in transition. God can pull them from something onto something that they just don't know yet, so they have to do that. I'm not talking about them or you if you're here. I'm talking about those that already made it, signed, sealed, and delivered, and go. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to buy these books written by, I ain't going to give you his name. And the church don't need to be in no building no more. All right. Okay. At some point in time, you got to start studying all this stuff. Now, some of you young people get started, you don't need all that. That's what we're here for. We tell you these things. Then they come across your table 8 years from now, you say, I heard that before. Right now, you just go and take care of your business. My job is to study all this stuff out. Eventually, you will have to. If you're under mentors that's studying and searching the scriptures and cleaning out the furniture in their house, then your furniture is going to be cleaned out too. The flesh, as the unredeemed human nature, cannot be cast out. Demons can be cast out. When a person admits that they got them, or had them, and they're willing to submit to God in order to be free. God will not set you free of your friends. Understanding God's word about deliverance will break the cycle of unbelief. So I know that everybody here are a believer. You're a part of the He That Believeth group. He that believeth and is baptized shall cast out demons. Ooh, Lord, first sign. So in order to come to this degree of light in spiritual warfare and in deliverance, it'll never take place if we are in denial. We need to study the scriptures to see if the things I tell you be true. You need to study. Because when I first heard them too, I said, oh, no, impossible. I'm saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the name. In the name of Jesus. And so no devil could touch me. At the same time, pastors, we have to be mentors, and we have to ask God to give us wisdom in order how to minister to those that come in, because we don't want to shock them to the extent where they become apostate because of the threat or fear and overwhelmed with deliverance. Deliverance is not everything. It has its place. But without it, you're definitely at the mercy of the devil. I don't know if the devil got no mercy at all. So the church needs to see the gifts operate, preaching about deliverance. They need to see me teaching about the tabernacle. I need to be talking about faith. But when I talk about faith, who's going to rob your faith? The devil. He's going to come up every time. You say, well, I just leave him out of ours, and our church is growing. Yeah, it's growing all right. The word says there's going to be many going to fall away. It didn't say it's going to be few. We need to finish up. There's only one remedy for the flesh that resides in us, and that's crucifixion. You got to deny yourself. You got to be a cross bearer and not all infatuated with wearing the cross. So you got to deny yourselves. You got to follow Jesus. And that is a constant and a conscious identification with the death of Christ. Romans 6:6 and, of course, verse 11. The other remedy, and another remedy, is the remedy for evil spirits that operate in our being, and that's liberation. The flesh must be mortified or crucified, but demons must be bound and expelled or cast out in the name of Jesus and by God's Spirit. You cannot cast out the flesh, neither can you crucify a demon, even though I've seen people try to do that. The solution is different in each case. Once the deprogramming process, in other words, it's authorized within the believer, you start believing in deliverance because you got to be deprogrammed. The devil is going to set up all kind of roadblocks there. He spent time there for a couple thousand years there trying to figure out how to block this great move of God in the last day. And I do believe God is raising up end time soldiers that are not going to be just weekend warriors. They're going to celebrate, and they're going to dance and feast before the battle because they know they're going to win when they go to war. I believe these are the times of restoration. And I believe that even though the Don Bashams, the Derek Princes, the Dr. William Knows, the Chris Simpsons, the William Bill Banks, the Catherine Kuhlmans, the Frank Mazzulas, the Frank Hammonds, the Ida Hammonds, the Irma Miller, and Sister Moody's wife, they used to stay in my house. And many, many other patriots that served valiantly and in their death, in their presence with God right now, I celebrate Jesus in their remembrance for the things that they sold in my life, many of those people that I've called by name, and many of them are sold into your lives. I'm mindful of the fact that God is raising up replacements. We are that replacement. We are the ones that have been empowered, and God is trusting to bring this nation and the nations that you represent to a greater light and understanding of spiritual warfare. So these are times of restoration. In Mark, the 16th chapter, let me finish up because I got so many different ways I want to go. I want to get to teach one time. But I'm here all the time, so it's all good. You know, that's another thing I found in the church. I was teaching Sunday. That we had a lot of new people coming to our assembly, half a dozen or so in the last week or so, 2 weeks. And we're a small group. And so we see something like that. We're delighted that God is feels like we are competent enough at that time by His grace to be able to handle just one more person. I couldn't handle 500 at one time because I ain't got enough people to reach the 500. Because I don't want nobody being seat number 499 over there. Oh, we have praise and worship. Oh, woo, the Holy Ghost, what seat were you? I was on 6,033. I had my number right. I was on 6,033 seat. That's good if you got 600 pastors under that one local leadership. Most people don't have a clue about leadership and mentorship. I believe I could do much more with a small group like this than I can do with 1,000 people in the Caribbean. Because I work at the Caribbean. I usually work with their leaders if I can. So I don't want you to despise the small beginnings in your ministry. For those of you who are saying, well, it's just two or three of us at the house or in my neighborhood that I know believe. My wife and I started that way too. Always undercover. We had a little prayer meetings going on because my pastor would have prayer meetings. We'd go to different houses on Friday night. And my wife and I would start doing it. And then the house got to the point where we had so many people coming and we got blessings. released from our local church, moved to our city about 15 miles west, and I went and rented a place and had only one bathroom in there. It was an old transit authority bus center. And then we started inviting people off the streets, prostitutes, pimps, AIDS victims, people with all kind of problems. The worst case scenarios, most of them didn't have any money, clothes, food, things like that. And then that was where we began to become trained by God to work with the souls of men. So despise not the small beginnings. Now, I don't know, we've probably got a half a dozen or so ministries around the world under our authority who have ministries under them. And I didn't even know this. One of my ministers was telling me he had churches in Africa and in the Caribbean. I didn't even know. I know he traveled, but I didn't know it was under him. So, Brother Landry didn't have nobody come lay hands on his head and say, Apostle! Because you got two churches. That's it. I didn't even know what happened. We just growing. Everybody just working. And you figure out after a while what the deal is. You say, oh. And then you get more and more cautious. More and more humble. Because you know you're standing next to your brother and say, man, we planted five churches. I'm Bishop so-and-so. I say, you are. All right, Bishop. Hope you make it. Hope you make it, brother. I mean that. I hope they make it. I really hope they make it. I'd rather go the way God showed me. It was a hard knocks of the world, going out down the street, being threatened. Yeah, people attacked me. My house was shot. I got somebody took a 9mm and unloaded on my house, shot my house. All kind of stuff. I mean, man, nothing like this happened recently. We've learned a little bit more about warfare. See, God will kind of press you. God will use the enemy to press you into his presence. That's in the Bible, right? Yeah, I know that scripture. I know y'all do. That is Psalm 17. Verse 12 through 14, God will use the wicked as the sword of the Lord. Draw you closer to Him. Use them. I don't care, Lord. No problem with me. I'm already dead. I tell the devil in a minute, I'm alive through Christ. The man that's alive, he's scared to let God use that sword. We got too many people alive right now. Okay, all right. Mark 16:6. I need to finish up. I'm about to finish. I'm going to let y'all out here early. Mark 16, because then I'll just go and send you on another rabbit trail somewhere else. We'll never finish anything. Psalm 17, verses 12 through 14. Thank you, Elder. In Mark 16, it says, actually verse 15 is where we should start. And Jesus said unto his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Alright? Now some people just go preach to the church. Some people try to build off the church. Their prayer meetings and their gatherings, it's not really to pull in souls off the streets or lost souls for God. It's to strengthen their local congregation by stealing from other people's ministries. Not that other people should have people that they protect and keeping that belong to them either. But some people got the wrong alternative motives. Now, that's the pastor in me. Now we go back to the teacher for a moment. Oh, and by the way, I did a study here for the first time in 20-some years. Now, I got to tell you this. I'm going to finish up with two verses of scripture and I'm just going to stop. That's what all of us need to do. As Christians, y'all, you need a place to pour out your baby. We in birthing pains. We ain't got a way to let go of this thing on Sunday morning. You go in there with seat number 499. See, now y'all different. See, y'all in ministry. Y'all interacting with people. Y'all saying, come out in the name of Jesus. You got somewhere out to pour out that baby. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Okay. I don't even know where I was going on that one, so I need to tell you that, because he showed me to tell you that 20 minutes ago, and I didn't. So maybe your brain, the other one back. Verse 15 again, I'm going to go there. I'm just going to escape that last statement. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be cursed. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Okay, we need to dissect this passage of scripture and get a good understanding, because we know that there are people around the country drinking arsenic and letting snakes bite them. Or playing with snakes. And I beg to differ. That's not what God intended in these passages of Scripture. First of all, he's talking about the he that believeth. Not everybody going to believe this. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. So, the whosoever believeth, the he that believeth. Five eventual signs of the believer and the disciples of Christ. They're all in you, but they have to be mentored. Have to be monitored. You have to be under authority to be in authority. No man can be an authority who has not properly, and I do mean to say properly, submitted to another man's work. There are no independent anointings. Mark those who say they are independent of all man. Sometimes you can say something as kind as, well, did you get a, you know, in our states, you know, they require that if something happened, if the paddy wagon come and you out there witnessing, and the sheriff throw everybody in the wagon, the pimps, the prostitutes, and the gangsters, they're going to throw you in there. I got a license. I send $150 to Atlanta, Georgia every year. That really make you a minister of God, huh? No relationship with a leader. And my cell phone, which is not with me right now, and my cell phone is Pastor Glenn, personal cell phone number. Pastor Norman Parrish in Guatemala, Mexico, personal cell phone number. His son over the international ministry, personal cell phone number. Pastor Harlan Dean, which is my local pastor, personal telephone number. Sister Jeremy McGee, which is one of my mentors, personal cell phone number. Glenn Gene Moody in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, which is one of my personal home phone number. Relationship before ministry. Jesus taught, sister, I wanted to holler at you yesterday. God bless. Good to see you, my friend. Martha, Sister Martha. You ought to be up here, friend. This is our message. Jesus taught relationship before ministry. Churches don't want a relationship right now. You know too much. We got too many of them. They're looking at you. You know, some of us got some pretty good education there. That scares some of them preachers. Like I was telling old Bo Sharp, Bo went overseas. He's a real smart man, but he gave his life to God. God humbled that brother. I'm talking about Pastor Bo. But I told Bo, I think he was thinking I was playing. I said, well, I graded the top of my class too, but I cheated. See, I think Bo thought I was playing. So all I do is look on the guy on the side. Yeah. See, that's why I say, if you can't minister to people and not be able to testify what God's brought you out of, you're in trouble. Because we got people to tell you in a minute, well, I ain't had all that problem. I mean, you know, but they deliverance workers. So when people meet me and they say, well, Brother Landon, Jim, I said, man, you a preacher. I heard you was a preacher. Man, I remember when so-and-so used to do so-and-so. I said, brother, that's all you remember. Let me tell you something else I did. I'm going to try to do that and use that to hook them. No, we too high. Oh, yeah, that's it, man. I'm the man. I'm Rem Jim. Excuse me. I am Reverend Jim or something. And so we got people out there more concerned about those type of things. The first sign. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow the belief, in my name. The first sign is casting out demons. Oh boy, that popped a bubble on a lot of religion. Number two, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Number three and number four, holy boldness and God's divine. What are you talking about, Brother Jim? The Bible says, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, it's talking about God's divine protection. God will provide for us supernaturally. He will protect us supernaturally. But he intends for the believer to have an attitude of a soldier. The attitude in God's army of a warrior. And so that attitude here of taking up serpents is an attitude that when you engage the enemy, an attitude of taking, grabbing, snatching, pulling. Now, I'm being a little theatrical, but we can do deliverance with a cup of tea and a person sitting on the side of you and never raise your voice. I know this Sunday when I was preaching as an evangelist. And my wife said, you had sweat all on your back. I said, no. She said, yeah, you sweating all up there. I don't know what's wrong with you. I said, it was probably because I was so excited about what happened at the park the day before, you know, at the apartment complex. But most of the time, I'm just real like this, you know, just telling like it is. And, but I was, I noticed myself that it was a little change there in delivery. And, so let God do what he want to do. That's the main thing. But do you have the attitude Do you trust God's divine protection? Do you have the attitude of a soldier to take up, snatch, pull, drag, whatever it takes to get people free and get yourself free? And then the fifth sign is healing of the sick. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now that's a sign of a supernatural empowerment by God. There have been times where some people, you'll pray for them and we have to work with them over a period of time. Get a little case log there. Ask the Holy Spirit to give us a word of knowledge. What we're dealing with is, what is the spiritual root? Some things don't happen immediately. God give us enough victories to keep us gone, but He give us enough defeats to keep us honest. This is all about Him. But don't stop because you don't see something manifest. Go find another 100. And don't get off in this marketing and sales routine where they say, you're going to get 3% out of every 100. I want 100 out of 100. That's the attitude you're supposed to have. And even though you may not see it manifest, you ain't got to tell everybody, well, you're only going to get 3%. Come on. Where's faith? Where's pistols? Now faith. Shame to say, most ministries are only concerned with the congregation be filled with the Holy Spirit and God's healing ministry. Well, here we go. In Luke, the 9th chapter, there's a passage of scripture where Jesus sent out the other 70. The other 70 didn't have a particular name. He named them other 70. Nobodies. Then he gave them, in the 9th verse, I believe it was, he said, now go preach the kingdom and heal all manner of sickness. Jesus did not tell them to cast out devils. They returned from their ministry that day, and they got in front of Jesus. They were celebrating. They say, Lord, Lord, even the devils were subject to us. That just bust a cap on those people who say, or it bust a bubble on those ministries who say, I'm just in the healing ministry only. Because they noticed that when they were ministering healing and they were preaching the gospel, they saw demons coming out of the people. So that's one passage of scripture where Jesus told them to go heal, and as a result of healing, the demons were subject. So how, and I can remember so vividly in the young years, meeting a lot of people say, well, oh yeah, brother, I haven't been called to God, give me the healing ministry. Man, I just got to preach this every week till you catch on. Therefore was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil's got works, God's got greater works. He's got greater work us. And God's doing a great work in the body. There's no one that is greater than anyone, but there are those that he's doing greater works through. God has his church. We are his church. We are his disciples. And we ought to be excited when we help others and we get help ourselves. We ought to be excited when we see the supernatural gifts of God manifest. We ought to be excited that God has commissioned us to this take no credit ministry where we can't be glorified, where we can see the glory of God manifest in other people. We ought to be thankful that we've been called demon chasers, tissue carriers, garbage can folk. Don't take up other people's offenses. Did you hear what she said to me? We're taking up other people's offenses. The devil's getting us sidetracked so we can't complete our missions. I need to be quiet. Father, I take authority over the strong man. I take authority for my position in Christ Jesus, which is high above all the states, principalities, world rulers, and dominions. And from the third heaven, I take authority and I bind that devil. I bind all principalities and powers, specifically given orders by Satan to come against the workers of deliverance. The preachers that preach the kingdom. Those strategies, schemes, wiles, and devices will come to nothing. I command the iniquity of the enemy to return upon his own head. He loves cursing, let cursing return to him. Father, I break the power and hold of every yoke off our necks. We will only be yoked unto the Lord. Father, I pray in Jesus' name to come against every angelic principality, every worker, dark worker, every lie of Satan and his demons to wreak havoc against the church. And Father, I pray, God, that you send legions of angels to come in now, cleanse the grounds and cleanse us, take all these principalities and powers to where you receive them in Jesus' name. Now, I come against all of the spirits attacking the soul. I bind them in the name of Jesus. I bind them in the name, attacking our bodies. I bind them in the name of Jesus. You know who you are. You have no authority over us. I command you to go in Jesus' name. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every one of you, in Jesus' name, you have no power. You have no authority over us. We have power over you through the blood of Jesus Christ. because of the precious blood of Jesus, because of the name of our great high priest, Lord Jesus Christ, and you cannot stay. So in Jesus' name, I command all cult spirits, you come out of us, you go. I break the generational curses of the cults over us. You go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. All religious cults, I break that power over us. You go, all in our ancestry. Some of us got 4, 5, 6, 7 different types of ancestral back. In mine, German, Spanish, African, whatever else was thrown in the pot. So we break all that stuff that came down the bloodline. We break it, we break it, we break it, we break it. We command all those deities, all those gods, all those family, familiar spirits, we arrest you in Jesus' name. We cast you out of us in Jesus' name. We are soldiers of God. We are warriors for God. You have no place in us and no part in us in Jesus' name. So in Jesus' name, I bind up all of the spirits. All of the spirits of the familiar spirits of our families. I bind them up in Jesus' name. I command them, you leave now to all of your God. And Lord, I ask you to fill up those vacancies. The voids in our minds and our bodies where these evil spirits have left. Because they got to go. All the familiar spirits. We command you to get out of there. We have a familiar spirit now. The Holy Spirit. That's why a familiar spirit is not written in the New Testament. It doesn't mean it's not there. But we have power. Power over the enemy through the Holy Spirit. Power to live a martyr's life for Jesus. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We pray to fill up those vacancies with the presence of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord, to pour out your healing power over the congregation, over every area of our mind, our bodies that have been ravaged, tormented, harmed, wounded in any way. And Father, we pray to cleanse and heal these areas with your precious blood. Now I ask you, Lord, to assign as many of your ministering angels as needed to protect this group, their extended family, the ministries, Lord God. Until all of the deliverance is completed. Lord, I ask you to give every person that is willing and is in agreement, discernment, whatever is needed to make them acutely aware each time the enemy tries to regain access. We need that detection. We need that discernment, God, so that devil can be stopped before he can get another foothold. Now, Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory. For what was accomplished today. Maybe something was said that would kind of clear up some misunderstanding concerning the natural and the regenerated man, the old man, the flesh and the spirit, the habitation of evil spirits in the old man in the physical body, and our human spirit that has now been filled with the Spirit divine, regenerated, reserved for our great high priest, Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what the demons are doing. Lord, we just thank you right now, like a submarine submerged in the depths of waters, where you want something to rise up there and manifest so that we can deal with it. Lord, we will deal with it. Whatever you show us, when it pops up, that old man, that flesh, or demonic power, we're going to deal with it because we know now we can win through you. And that you came to set the captives free, and we're going to be set free. And the same measure that we measure to others is going to be measured back to us. So we commission our lives to go to war. And so, Lord, now I give glory and honor and praise to you, Lord Jesus, for all of this work that you began. And, Lord, we bless. We bless the Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. We bless this afternoon's lunch. I think Linda's back there cooking. I don't know if she's ever done that before. That doesn't mean she can't cook. But she's so busy up there with administrative work. Oh, man. I'm going to eat those words. And we bless the food, we bless the fellowship, and we just pray to have an exciting time. I know it's serious time, because these are serious days. And hopefully something was said that will strengthen all of us for the war. I live for this. You should live for it. In any area where the devil sees that you got compromised, he's going to capitalize. So I bless the food in the name of Jesus. You are dismissed. May God bless you. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.